Heal Thyself, Using a Holistic Approach with Dr. Eric Madrid.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to today's podcast. Today, we're going to be having a conversation with Lauren Kwan Madrid, co-founder of People's Yoga Studio in East Los Angeles, California. And Lauren will be teaching us not only the health benefits of yoga, but also how yoga can positively impact not only our body, but also our mind and our spirit. And also, if today is your first time listening to our podcast, welcome. We hope you find this information helpful. Look back through our prior podcast. There's a lot of good information there for you. Also, don't forget to follow me on Instagram at EricMadridMD. So stay tuned and listen to this exciting show we have for you. So for everybody who is listening to this podcast, today we're speaking with Lauren Kwan Madrid, my sister. But she is much more than my sister. She's also a mother, a wife, a working professional, a yoga expert, and everything else.
I don't know about expert, but I do yoga.
Exactly. You definitely know more than I do. So that makes you an expert. So Lauren, tell us about your history, your education, prior to even yoga, and then we'll kind of get into how you got interested in yoga.
Sure. So I went to UC Berkeley, straight out of high school, and I majored in ethnic studies, got my bachelor's in that. And then when I came home back to LA, I started to take a yoga class at the YMCA. And that was my first introduction to yoga. And it was awesome because the instructor knew his demographic. So I was taking yoga at the YMCA, and this YMCA is in East LA, where people speak Spanish and English, and there's people of all different physical abilities. And so the class was taught in a really wonderful way in both Spanish and English. It was both relaxing and challenging, and he incorporated aromatherapy. And so that was like my first time with yoga, and it really blew my mind. And that was the beginning of it all. That was about 2007. I started taking more yoga classes from there.
What was it about it that captivated you and said, hey, this is something that I enjoy?
Well, I was an athlete in high school and in college, and so I really enjoyed the physicalness of it. I was attracted to the workout component of the asana, the physical practice. So the lunges, the down dogs, the strengthening poses, the balancing. But what also part of yoga is meditation, is breath work. And so there was these other subtle components that I didn't know were in there. And when I started doing them, I really connected with it and got different benefits. So when I started to breathe mindfully or take different types of breath or pranayama, or even just focus my thoughts, like in class, when it was all done, I started to feel very calm and very centered and very peaceful. And so it was just this, and it's very addicting, you know, feeling calm and peaceful feels great.
Right.
And I was just addicted, and I wanted to keep feeling, it's like a high. I wanted to keep feeling good. And that's what it was. And I started to take different types of yoga because there's a lot of different types. And I was starting to figure out what kind I liked more.
So the different types, what is the reason for that? I mean, so for someone who doesn't know about yoga, we think of somebody simply, you know, sitting in a yoga studio on a mat, wearing, mm-hmm. you know, their sweats and their yoga pants and basically stretching and doing these different poses and different exercises. Why the different yoga modalities or disciplines, and are they to treat different things, or do they have a different focus?
Sure. Well, one thing I think to talk a little bit about yoga is history, because I think that helps. You know, yoga is over 2,000 years old, and it's from India, right? So it comes out of certain culture, a history, a tradition. And yoga a common definition is yoga means union of mind, body, spirit. And that's a really simple way to put it together, but generally we're bringing all those things together. that could be being present. Yoga is a way of being present in the mind. Yoga is also defined as bringing the strands of the mind together. So it's not just the physical, but it's a lot of the mental. How do we bring it all together? And so yoga has this deep history, and also these different types of yogis and these different interpretations and these different teachers who have taught yoga in different ways. And so one component of yoga is asana, and that's this physical practice. And that's what we think about. We think about down dog and, you know, cobra and all these poses. That's asana. It's a physical practice. One of the earlier texts is Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. But with that, there's a lot of different yoga lineages, and there's different teachers who started teaching yoga in India to primarily to the British, because the British were colonizing India,
sure,
right? And so they started to learn, like, what is this yoga thing that you all are doing? And so the Indian people, mainly a very higher royal class, right, were actually teaching the British what yoga was. And this was like 100, 200 years ago. And so that's actually the first way that yoga starts getting introduced to, quote unquote, the West, right? And so there's a lot of different teachers and lineages. And what we do a lot today in the US is called Hatha yoga. And Hatha yoga brings the physical and the meditation and the breath work together in a very kind of like a yin and yang. You do some of the cool and some of the heat. So you do some of the active and some of the soft. And so it's a balancing of it. And that's really common. That's what you see at most yoga studios is Hatha yoga. It's very accessible.
Gotcha.
There's different types that are more focused on the alignment being perfect. And that serves a different purpose. There's hot yoga, Bikram yoga, which is done in a sauna, basically like 100 degree temperature with heat and humidity.
Wow.
And that has a totally different you know, it's doing something different for the body and the mind. But yoga is also a huge industrial complex. So there's money, lots of money, millions, billions of dollars being made on yoga. And so that also, there's a lot of different types of yoga because there's a lot of money to be made.
So like anything, once it's been introduced to the West, it becomes commercialized and turned into a for-profit mechanism.
Which is really sad because yoga has so many great benefits, but now what it is such a commodity that it's really the people who can afford it have access to it, so have access to healing. So
let's go back. So obviously it's taken you a while to get all this knowledge because you obviously know a lot about yoga, its history and what it, you know, and how it can be helpful. So after you graduated from college, you had your bachelor's degree, and how long, and then you went back to graduate school. But during this time, you were still practicing yoga. And I'm sure over many, many years, you started just learning more about it, reading more about it to get to the point where you are today. Tell me about your graduate school and then how, was that anything related to yoga or completely separate? And then how did you get to the people's yoga, which we'll talk about here shortly?
So I have a graduate degree in urban planning, a master's degree. Not really connected to yoga, but I kept doing yoga while I was in graduate school.
From USC, really helped me. From the University of Southern California.
Yes. And what yoga did for me, it just helped to balance me, right? I stuck with it because when I was like doing papers and had late night classes and working, you know, full of caffeine just to stay up, you know, doing yoga on the side just to help keep me grounded. And so I was doing that. I was going to a lot of different yoga studios at that time, doing their deals, because they always have like an intro package. And I would go take classes and go learn. And I did so with my friend, Leah Gallegos, and we would do it together. So we would go everywhere we could and tell each other about all these yoga deals. And
for a while,
around this time.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for a while, then after you graduated with your master's degree, you're actually working in the corporate world for a few years. And then kind of had a change of heart for a while.
Yeah, well, I was in nonprofit affordable housing development. So I was working on building housing, homes, and for low-income seniors and families. And it was very stressful. I was fresh out of grad school. I went right into work. I, at the time, was just learning the ropes, and it was really challenging. And also at the time, I was doing yoga a lot. And the linchpin there is I was going outside of my community. So I live in Boyle Heights, or I lived in Boyle Heights with my mom when I was going to school.
Which is a suburb, and I had to go, suburb of Los Angeles.
Yeah, one of the oldest suburbs of Los Angeles. So it's right next to downtown. And I was going to Silver Lake and Pasadena and to Echo Park. So really more affluent and or gentrified areas to try yoga.
So let me, so people who don't really know Southern California that well. So although mileage wise, it might only be 10 or 15 miles. So Pasadena for maybe Boyle Heights might only be 10 or 15 miles, but because of the traffic, it could easily take an hour to get there, correct?
Depending. Yeah, it could. Okay. You have to time it right.
So 10 miles doesn't sound very bad, but when you're spending 2 hours a day in a car.
Yeah. And it was, so I was going to these studios and I was finding a lot of peace and joy and calm and centering and strength and all these wonderful things when I would go. But I was in these places where I was with people who didn't look like me and who didn't have this similar background or experience as me. And it was just odd feelings. I would go into these rooms and I'd be like, wait a minute, why am I the only person of color in this room? This is weird.
Right.
And then I would go to classes where I would see older women, you know, baby boomers, you know, doing headstands and upside down. And I'd be like, oh my God, my mom would never do this. My mom couldn't do a headstand and she wouldn't be comfortable in a place like this.
I couldn't do a headstand. And
yeah, it's intimidating when you see people doing it. And so Leah and I would basically go to all these studios, really get a lot of joy. But at the same time, we were like, wait a minute, why do we have to go so far, pay so much money, and no one here looks like us or our family? Like, this is wrong because there's so many good things about yoga. But the people we love and people we know don't even know about it and can't even try it. And so it was with that, while I was working, that we started this pop-up yoga called People's Yoga. And we started doing yoga in Boyle Heights. And she and I both just started our yoga teacher training. So there's trainings out there to become a yoga teacher. And we started offering yoga to people in our neighborhoods. And it took off from there. So we were offering yoga that was accessible to different and all body types who came into the class. And basically donation-based. So we were trying to break down the barriers for people to try yoga and see if it worked for them. And this was in 2012 when we started these pop-up classes.
Now, you say pop-up class, were these held in a studio at the park and community centers, or where did you have the classes?
They were in community centers. We went out, we also partnered with the Buddhist temple and we worked out of their daycare center. We worked at a chiropractor's office. We worked at an MMA studio. So basically whoever wanted to host us or where we wanted to go, we would ask them, can we do yoga here? And everyone was like, yes, you can. And we started getting a lot of phone calls. Can you do yoga at the schools, at the conferences? Can you do yoga for this workplace? Like, there was a really big interest at that time because there wasn't yoga in these neighborhoods.
And the demographics where we lived here, and grew up. Primarily Latino, Mexican-American, Latino community, correct?
Exactly, yeah. And but, you know, in the Buddhist temple we went to in Little Tokyo had a lot of Japanese, a lot of Asians, but it's primarily people who've never done yoga before. Right. And so that's going to be more people of color and less affluent people because yoga is very expensive and more common in wider demographic areas.
Right. And did you find it harder? So I would imagine, and, you know, obviously in the Buddhist temple and it might be more common to do yoga. So there's probably less resistance to it. But when you went to East Los Angeles and to more of the Hispanic communities, did they really understand what yoga was all about? Did they have a good understanding of it? Was there a taboo about it, or how was the reception towards it?
So the older Latino, Latina would ask us more questions about yoga, right? And those who were more religious kind of just stayed away, which is really sad, right? I mean, from my perspective, because there's so many healing benefits, but there was this idea or this stigma that, you know, you're working with the mind, you know, that they might not jive with the Catholic Church or, you know, Christianity. But for the most part, once people start doing it, they realize that they can have their religion, they can have their spirituality, and be also do yoga. Right. So people started to realize they can do both, and that doing yoga doesn't mean you're no longer Catholic or no longer Christian. It's about something completely different. So it was about breaking down those stereotypes. And now it's very common to see yoga in lots of places.
Because in reality, I mean, yoga started probably, you know, like you said, a couple thousand years ago, and I even read maybe the, you know, 500-600 years before Christ. So yoga kind of predates the Catholic Church and Christianity.
Yeah.
So,
and in many ways, Jesus was probably a yogi, and, you know, he probably studied.
He may have.
He may have.
So
it was pretty awesome.
So now you guys started. So eventually you were able to open up a clinic in East Los Angeles, which again is a predominantly Latino community, 97%. I looked it up here before we went on, about 97%, Latino, Mexican American, Central American, and so on. And so you guys were literally like the first yoga studio serving a population of probably close to about 200,000, or including the surrounding areas, 250,000 people, right?
Yeah, so we opened up a brick and mortar studio in 2014. It was really because we were getting pulled all over the place to do yoga everywhere. And we asked ourselves, do we really want to be going all these other places, or do we want to create a home for our work? And we knew we wanted to create a home. So we did a crowdfunding campaign. We raised up almost $20,000 from our community, and we opened up shop in a small 1,000 square foot commercial unit in basically a strip mall in East LA. And we've been there ever since. This was 2014. We've offered classes every day of the week since we've opened, multiple days, times a day, so 3 to 4 classes a day. And it's been wonderful because the people who come into our doors are generally folks who've never done yoga. And primarily those are a lot of Latinos, a lot of senoras, a lot of older women who are, you know, who work a lot, right? We work with a lot of working class people who work, they're physical workers. They do a lot of manual labor. They're caretakers. We have a lot of younger folks, but who also, you know, holding down a few jobs. And so we're getting people with various backgrounds, but who are looking for a place to calm, center, find peace, and find wellness and health, however that is for them.
Right.
And we're also near Monterey Park and Montebello, so we do have a good amount of Chinese people, Japanese people. So it's pretty wonderful of a space. And we've been going since 2014.
And so you said 3 classes a day. How many people tend to go to each class?
Well, it depends. So the evenings are our most popular classes because it's after work hours. So those will range from maybe 10 to 20. Our morning and mid-afternoon classes are a little smaller. And then weekend mornings and weekend mornings are maybe like 8 to 15.
Right.
So, yeah.
So now you mentioned too, so one of the challenges that initially is the cost of it. So a lot of the yoga studios, for example, in Pasadena, Santa Monica, some of the more affluent areas, how much would they normally charge? Is it per class, or do you buy a yearly membership, a monthly membership?
Yeah. Well, when we first started in 2014, what was expensive was probably like $16 a class.
Okay.
We started at $14. So we made sure to undercut everyone.
Right.
Everyone around us, we were like, we're going to be lower than them.
Sure.
But I just went to a studio and it was $20 a class. So 20 to 22 is actually pretty common now.
Right.
Our price is 17. So we've raised prices over the years, but we're very cognizant of keeping our classes more affordable. But also we have a strong amount of donation classes. And so those where we just put out a jar and people can just pay what they can. And so we try to meet people at different price points wherever they are.
Right.
So for those who can only afford a few dollars here and there, we have options for them. For those who can afford a membership, we have options for them. So we really try to meet our community where they're at. And we also do free classes. We have partnerships with different with organizations where we offer 100% free classes to the community.
Excellent. So obviously you're not going to just turn somebody away because they can't afford it.
Correct. No.
Excellent.
We don't do that. We're trying to stay open and relevant to the people who are in our neighborhoods.
Now, so from my perspective, you know, as a family physician, and you know, we in our practice we have PAs, physician assistants, nurse practitioners. What type of patient should we be looking for, or what, you know, what are the typical patients that we would say, hey, you need to consider yoga? This will help you with these conditions. What kind of patient, you know, type should we be thinking about this for?
Well, you know, I'm not a doctor, so I'm going to give you my perspective from what I've seen out there and also from what I know of how yoga's helped me.
Right.
But I will mention we are right next door to a medical facility, a big one, a Kaiser clinic, and they're constantly referring people to us.
Excellent.
We're always getting people who say, my doctor, my nurse referred me to yoga. So we know that doctors, Western doctors and medical professionals are referring their clients to yoga. And I think what yoga helps a lot with is a lot of stress, insomnia, also tightness in the body, people who have tight, maybe lower back pain, who maybe who don't move very much, right? Who are more sedentary.
Right.
Yoga helps with all of that. I think things to look out for, of course, is they have to be able to do basic movements for general yoga classes. So they have to be able to, you know, fold forward and not hurt their back, right? Or kind of sit up and not hurt their back. So people who are really dealing with some very serious spine pain, like, need to be cleared. I guess that's the most important thing. You have to be cleared
sure.
to go do yoga. But a lot of people come who have sciatica, mm-hmm. who have different, even autoimmune diseases,
right?
So people come and it helps them a lot. It helps them balance. It helps them, you know, fight their diseases.
Right.
And they tell us, you know, people get off medications. I know one elder who told me she was basically not taking any of her medications anymore because of her yoga practice.
For,
and so
for like pain medications?
Pain medication, high blood pressure.
Right, sure.
You know, even insulin perhaps, right? Depending on what kind of program you get on, right? Because there's some yoga that's more meditative, which helps with the mind, and that's huge. But then there's more physical, or it's more exercise, right?
Right, so people are able to get their exercise in and possibly even lose weight, then they can get their diabetes under control back
off. For sure, it's a lot of stretching. You're stretching your muscles and your ligaments. It's a lot of that, and that really helps as people feel good. And they're just having a higher quality of life, you know? They feel better. They can walk a little bit longer, climb the stairs better, right?
Right.
There's all kinds of benefits.
One of the things I've noticed in medicine, just even, you know, I've been practicing now for 13 years since I've finished my residency. And I graduated from med school in 2002, so it's been 16 years since then. And there's been a big turn in the sense of, you know, there's a big push to try to reduce the patient's reliance on opiate pain medications, right? The Norcos, the Percocets, hydrocodones, because of their addictive properties.
Yeah.
And I've seen more doctors who even just years ago were more against or not as open to alternative treatments. And once they started realizing that patients, whether they were using yoga, acupuncture, chiropractor, and saw patients actually getting off of, you know, dangerous opiate medications, then all of a sudden a lot of Western doctors became more open to this alternative. And I think the toolbox by which us doctors use to practice medicine has been expanded. I think the mind of a lot of traditional, you know, MDs and osteopaths, our DO doctors, has been expanded in the sense of we're now relying on other ways to help patients achieve, whether it's you know, sleeping better without giving them you know, habit forming medications, or you know, having to being able to get through the day with less anxiety and less pain and not having to rely on controlled substances. So I think there's, you know, so I'm kind of excited personally just to see the shift, like a quantum shift in healthcare and healthcare providers. At least now they may not necessarily believe in it, but eventually, as more and more patients do it, and the doctors will, in essence, just learn more about it, they'll come to believe more in the benefits of this. And I think, you know, over the next couple of decades, we're going to see more doctors recommend their patients go to yoga classes, or their, you know, offices, or their they'll line up with local studios where they can, you know, maybe provide a, you know, discounts or some kind of special membership fee that will help encourage patients to seek out these different treatments.
Definitely. And like you said, it's a toolkit, right? So I think yoga and meditation, or even other types, it's the mind body practices, right? Like Tai Chi, Qigong, even dancing or singing or music, right? I think practices that help people feel at peace, feel connected with their breath, feel present, like all of that, along with physical activity or whatever other types of medication they may be on, right? All of that is helping to just kind of bring us all back to wholeness.
Right.
And yeah, yoga has been very, very wonderful for me. I came to it for the physical, but I started to realize it was the mental that I really wanted, that I really needed. It was the time to just breathe and just to calm my mind. And it's the balance, right, that really called me back. And so I feel like you might go to it for one reason. Mm-hmm. Some people come to it for meditation, or some people come to it for like breath work, but then they realize they want something completely different, or they got something completely different out of it that keeps them coming back. And everybody teaches it differently too. So I feel like there's YouTube yoga as well, which is really helpful, but finding a community and doing it in community is also really nice, because you start to meet people, cultivate friendships, and that alone is so powerful and healing, right? To be in community.
True.
And yeah, so I just really encourage people to give it a try. And you may not like the first class you take, and that's totally fine. Try someone else, because everyone's going to do it a little different.
So you bring up a good point, though, about YouTube, too, because obviously that's kind of changed the world to a degree. Yeah. And for people who don't necessarily have a yoga studio next to them, maybe the finances aren't quite there yet, that might be a good way to get introduced to it. And who knows, that person may end up becoming a yoga teacher at some point in the future, and then getting together with other people in the community to start their own studio.
Definitely. I mean, just type in beginner yoga in YouTube and you'll have thousands of options. Like, there's so much out in different languages as well.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's what YouTube has equalized everything.
Absolutely. One of the things I think interesting too is, you know, the so-called conventional medicine, medical industrial complex, were relatively new in the sense of, you know, so the MDs are considered allopathic physicians, and then DOs are considered osteopathic physicians. But in reality, our discipline goes back maybe 100 to 150 years max. So when it comes to health and healing, we're actually a relatively newcomer to the game. Yoga goes back 2,500 years, acupuncture, and, you know, all these different, traditional Chinese medicine and herbs, and a lot of these go back thousands and thousands of years, and we don't quite understand necessarily how they work, but we're starting to learn more and more about the biomechanics of it, or a certain herb might have been used for thousands of years for a particular reason, but only now are we able to realize that there's a specific ingredient or multiple ingredients and chemicals in that plant that actually had its healing benefits.
Yes, and to add that, have you ever heard of Ayurveda?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, right. That's the sister science to yoga.
Gotcha.
So Ayurveda is older than Chinese medicine. Right. It predates what we know of Chinese, you know, traditional Chinese medicine. And Ayurveda is from India, right? And so it's this whole science of food, of cleansing techniques, of herbs, of just basically it's a rethinking of what makes one healthy or what makes one balanced. And it's amazing. And so That's another component.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And I think healthcare professionals today need to be open-minded, because interestingly, there's an Ayurvedic herb that's becoming quite popular today. Turmeric, or turmeric, as some people call it. Mm-hmm. And obviously the active ingredient in that is curcumin, which is where we get the word curry for Indian food. And in India, they've realized the health benefits of curcumin or turmeric for thousands of years. Yep. And again, here we're starting to realize that, hey, this is it's kind of full circle. But now we're kind of understanding the mechanism by which it worked. But all we knew is that it was beneficial for thousands of years. We just didn't fully understand why. Let me ask you, so for doctors, PAs, physician assistants, nurse practitioners who wanted to incorporate more yoga into the practice, there's actual training classes, I understand, for doctors and healthcare professionals to learn yoga. Is that correct?
Yes. So there's a lot of yoga teacher trainings out there. If you go to the Yoga Alliance website, you can find tons all over the place. You can do yoga retreats. You can take your yoga training class in Hawaii. Like, there's a bunch. But one thing that might be more appealing to, especially those with a Western medical background, is yoga therapy. Mm-hmm. And also for people in Southern California, looking at Loyola Marymount University, LMU, they have a huge yoga studies program. And so they have yoga therapy programs where if you're a nurse, registered nurse, or if you're a medical doctor, you can actually skip some of the anatomy parts, right, and go right into the different things that you may not know. And so I think those programs are really appealing to folks who are trained in Western medicine, because there's a lot of the science mixed with the Western understanding of science mixed with the understanding of yoga. So Loyola Marymount University's yoga therapy program, and there's one in the Bay Area as well. And so, yeah, there's lots of ways where you can get training in it. But I think what is helpful before even all that is to take a class yourself.
Right.
Get a feel for it and see what it is, whether on YouTube or in a studio. Mm-hmm. And so you can start seeing how it benefits your life. And then therefore, when you go to your teacher training, it all makes more sense. And then you can be even more effective in delivering it to your clients.
Right. Excellent. Patients. So of course, being in healthcare, I always have other colleagues who are skeptical about the science behind yoga. So for some of those who may be listening to this, prior to this conversation, I did a search on PubMed, which is kind of the Google for healthcare and for scientists and for doctors. And I found studies that show that yoga can help reduce chronic pain, which has kind of been the experience that you've noticed with some of your patients. You brought up the importance of community. So I found a study that says regarding those with breast cancer who practice yoga, and they stated, quote, moderate quality evidence supports the recommendation of yoga as a supportive intervention for improving health-related quality of life and reducing fatigue and sleep disturbances when compared to no therapy, so no yoga, as well as yoga helped reduce depression, anxiety, and fatigue when compared to normal psychosocial and educational interventions. So again, if a person has breast cancer, no one's claiming that yoga is going to, get rid of your breast cancer, but it's going to help the journey and what you're going through a lot easier.
Yes. It helps calm the mind.
Right.
And I think this society, our minds are going all over the place.
True.
Rightfully so. And if we're facing an illness, even more so. Right. And so, yes, I totally agree that yoga, it just helps to improve the quality of life because it helps us calm down. I think is a big part of it.
Also
connect with our bodies, right. In a mindful way.
And it teaches discipline from what I'm hearing too. And a lot of our problems, health condition wise, comes from lack of discipline, right? Lack of discipline in the sense of, I need to exercise, but I don't feel like it. I need to eat better, but I don't feel like it. A lot of those are basically, due to poor self-discipline, where we would rather eat junk food and drink, sugary beverages than having healthy food and water. Or we would rather sit in front of a TV or in front of our smartphone all night instead of going for an evening walk. So again, discipline. Anything that we can do that encourages discipline and the ability to control one's mind and body and behaviors is extremely important just for health in general.
Yeah, and I would add that it adds awareness, right? And so when I teach a yoga class, I encourage people to acknowledge how they feel in that shape,
right.
What's going on in their body, what's going on in their mind, how does their spine feel, how does their breath moving, right? These are questions that we're never really thinking about throughout our day. How is my breath moving right now, right?
Right.
And so I remember when I did yoga, I started to realize I was standing up taller because I was reminding in yoga class, roll your shoulders back. And then I would notice throughout my day, I'd be, my shoulders would be slouching forward and I would roll them back, right? And so I think this discipline you mentioned, I feel like it's interconnected with awareness. And when we're more aware of ourselves and what feels good in our bodies, we start to make decisions like, maybe that substance or maybe that those potato chips, maybe I'm going to go for this right now just because it's going to feel better, but it's because I'm more aware. I can feel. I think so many communities or people are desensitized to feeling, right? Because of whatever traumas or past history, right? So like, I don't even want to feel my body. So I'm just going to focus on TV because it's too painful to feel my body or it's too painful to go into my mind.
Right.
So I'm going to like self-soothe on whatever substance, whatever distraction, right? But yoga is telling you, well, no, let's go feel. How does it feel to feel, right? And that's part of it. You're like, oh, okay, let me go on this journey with myself. And that's what it is. You're going on a journey inward, which is pretty powerful, right? And it's not easy. People can cry in class, and maybe not cognitively they understand why they're crying, but it could be because they're doing a hip stretch and the hips carry a lot of tension, right? And so all of a sudden there's just like these breakthroughs and people can cry or people have these revelations, right? So it's a journey in itself, and there's no winning in yoga. Like, you don't become the winner, right? You don't, there's no end.
Right.
It's a constant journey where you also see yourself change. Like, you maybe would fold forward and you're like, oh, I can't really touch my toes. But with constant practice, you realize that maybe you don't touch your toes, but you just feel very different in how you fold forward. Your spine feels longer, your hips feel looser. And so you start to get curious, like, oh, what does this shape feel like now? As you continue your practice, the shapes start to change. And some people really want to, like, get, quote, better, or just really, like, feel out this shape in a different way, which helps.
Excellent. So this is great information, and I hope that those who are listening to this today will at least go onto their computer and look up local classes, or at minimum go onto YouTube. And, the information that you've provided, it was very enlightening. I've learned quite a bit, and I'll probably have to look into something here, because I know we have one here locally in my community as well.
Yeah.
And if people want to reach out to you or to People's Yoga, how can they, are you on Instagram, or what's the best, Facebook? What's the best way to get to you?
We're on Instagram. We're at People's Yoga.
Okay.
That's our Instagram handle. Our website is peoplesyoga.org. And we're based in Los Angeles.
Excellent. And we'll go ahead and put that in the notes for this podcast as well.
Awesome.
All right. Great. Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate, talking to you. I know it's a Sunday and getting ready to start the work week again tomorrow, but hopefully, this went well, and we appreciate you taking your time out of your busy evening.
Thank you, Eric. Thanks for having me.
All right, Lauren. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.